Good morning. It's good to see you all awake, because I'm not sure I am. It's also good to see so many of you coming to the 8 o'clock service, because this is a Sunday we expect to start filling up in the second service with the college students starting to return, and we've been running real close to the edge of being a little bit crowded in second service anyway, and you put another 70 people in, and it could get real exciting. So for those of you who are second service normal people, and you're here on the first service, I really appreciate your willing to sacrifice to be here to accommodate our college students. The sermon today is going to be a little bit weird. Not because of lack of preparation, so don't go, "I knew it!" Actually, it's because it's because of over-preparation. This whole series has opened my eyes to things that I never understood before. And there's been a lot of things. Well, let me back up one more step. When I do my devotions, I read a chapter of God's Word, and then I make my own commentary on it in a computer file, okay? And so I pray to God through the computer, which you go and, "Oh boy, that boy's sick. I knew there was something wrong with him." But there's something about putting it down in print that makes you think more about it. And my prayer life was becoming perfunctory. And in order to force me to really think about what I was doing, I'm writing it out. And I do this commentary on a chapter of the Bible. Well, I remember doing the book of Exodus and Leviticus years before. And now I'm going through Leviticus again, appropriately, during this time. And I'm able to take areas of Leviticus that before I said, "Lord, I have no clue what this means. Why did you put this in here? This doesn't make any sense at all. I hope that one day you'll let me know what this means." I think a lot of that has come. And so today what I'm hoping to do, I'm going to have Deanie read from Leviticus chapter 21. I'm going to have her read the whole chapter. It is 21, isn't it, Deanie? Okay, 21. I'm going to have her read the whole chapter because there's a lot of things in there that maybe you at one time said, "Why is God putting this in here? Why is this a part?" If you read all of it, Leviticus, there's got to be at least one or two areas that you wonder, "Why is this in here?" I think I have an answer for you today. Some of you look relieved. That's good. You'll know why I'm going to reshape this message the way I am then. If you've been one of those Leviticus journeyers that found yourself going nowhere, I think I have some answers for you. So what we're going to do, I'm going to have Deanie read from Leviticus chapter 21, and then I'm going to give you a 100,000-foot overview of what I believe God is saying to us through this idea of the priests, okay? And then we're going to go through the sermon outline, which will take very little time at all. There's only 4 points, and I can cover those quickly. And then what we're going to do is give you application, which will be huge. It's part of my frustration today because it's just huge. Well, listen very, very carefully. Deanie comes and reads from Leviticus chapter 21.
If you are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, excuse me, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'A priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean for any of his people who die, except for a close relative such as his mother or father, his son or daughter, his brother or an unmarried sister who is dependent on him since she has no husband. For her he may make himself unclean. He must not make himself unclean for people related to him by marriage, and so defile himself. Priests must not shave their heads or shave off the edges of their beards or cut their bodies. They must be holy to their God and must not profane the name of their God. Because they present the offerings made by the Lord to the Lord by fire, the food of their God, they are to be holy. They must not marry women defiled by prostitution or divorced from their husbands, because priests are holy to their God. Regard them as holy, because they offer up the food of your God. Consider them holy, because I, the Lord, am holy, I who make you holy or set apart. If a priest's daughter defiles himself, herself, by becoming a prostitute, she disgraces her father. She must be burned in the fire. The high priest, the one among his brothers, who has had the anointing oil poured on his head, and who has been ordained to wear the priestly garments, must not let his hair become unkempt or tear his clothes. He must not enter a place where there is a dead body. He must not make himself unclean, even for his father or mother, nor leave the sanctuary of his God, or desecrate it, because he has been dedicated by the anointing oil of his God. I am the Lord. The woman he marries must be a virgin. He must not marry a widow, a divorced woman, or a woman defiled by prostitution, but only a virgin from his own people. So he will not defile his offspring among his people. I am the Lord who makes him holy. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, for the generations to come, none of your descendants who has a defect may come near to offer the food of his God. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed, no man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is hunchbacked or dwarfed, or who has any eye defect, or who has festering or running sores or damaged testicles. No descendant of Aaron, the priest, who has any defect, is to come near the present to present the offerings made to the Lord by fire. He has a defect. He must not come near to offer the food of his Lord. He may eat the most holy food of his God, as well as the holy food, yet because of his defect, he must not go near the curtain or approach the altar, and so desecrate my sanctuary. I am the Lord who makes them holy. So Moses told this to Aaron and his sons and to all the Israelites, the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Here goes. How many of you have wondered in the book of Luke, when Jesus is just days old, that Mary has to go to the temple and offer sacrifice for purification? Do you remember that? And if you read the book of Leviticus, that is prescribed by God that any woman who has had a child must go through a ritual purification so she's no longer defiled and so can, after that 30-day period, I think it's one length for boys born and one length for girls born, but through that purification period, she can then enter into worship and come into the court of women and be a part of temple worship again. How many of you have wondered why in the world a priest on duty cannot eat and drink certain items that reflect certain things? And they have this long list of dietary laws in the book of Leviticus. How many of you have ever wondered about that? Good, good. We've got five of you that are interested. How many of you wondered why if a person touches a woman who's in her menstrual cycle, why that person is defiled? I think I have an answer. If you remember from last week, we talked about sacrifices being instituted by God in order to make us aware of our IOUs that we owe to God. So there were thank offerings, and there were praise offerings, and there were free will offerings, there were guilt offerings, there were sin offerings. There were all these offerings that were prescribed by God to remind us of what we need to do in order to try to realize what God has done for us. Now, there's no sacrifice that we could ever make that would fully pay for it, and we're going to talk about that next week. So kind of hold. I know I got five balls in the air, and I'm asking you to keep juggling them. Well, just keep juggling for next several weeks, because I really believe this will all coalesce when we come together. But last week we talked about how sacrifices were there in order to reconcile us back to God or to maintain our relationship with God. And that's why God prescribed them in order to keep an intimate relationship with us. Okay? So I got five people shaking their head. Yes, that's good. So that you remember from last week what we're talking about. So sacrifices were God's way of really helping us to maintain and to reconcile our relationship with God. A priest's job is to pave the way for people to be able to come back to God. That's really what a priest's job was. Is to make it as easy as possible, to make it as simple as possible, to make it as comprehensive as possible for people to come back to God, either through instruction or through worship or through pointing out heresy or through example. Now, this is where hopefully everything coalesces, because at this point, I'm sure you're thinking he's lost his marbles. He's never going to get back to that thing that he was teasing us with 5 minutes ago. Here's where it comes back. A priest's job was to show people and to be an example to people of what a world would look like if we never had the fall, if in fact we could come back to an intimate, close relationship with God of the universe. Which meant that food would no longer decay. And so certain foods that are representative of that decaying process that have become quote-unquote corrupted are off-limits for the people of God and for the priests, because they represent that. That's why the dietary laws say what they do, because if you study those, a lot of those foods are associated with decay. They're with scavengers or with the animals that live in that kind of environment. And so because they had association with a corrupted world, God says, I don't want you to have any part of it. Childbirth was never to be labor. And so everything associated with childbirth that represents the fall, the women having a painful, bloody, horrible experience to bring us into the world, should not be associated with the God of the universe, because that was not the way it was in the beginning. It was not what God originally designed. Remember, that's part of the curse. And some of you are getting this. This is really exciting. Because I spent 30 years trying to do this. And if I can communicate to you this morning, that'll mean the world to me. But folks, the priesthood is there in order to show us what the world was supposed to be like before we boogered it up. That's why he's very, very strict about who you marry and who you can't marry. That's why he's very, very strict about who can offer sacrifices. Priests that had any defect at all were not allowed to go in. Why? Because pre-fall, there were no defects. There were no injured people. There were no illnesses. There were no running sores. Is this starting to take focus in your brain? I would double dog dare you to read the book of Leviticus, read the book of Exodus, read the whole Pentateuch. With keeping in mind, it was the priest's job to repaint the picture of this world in the image that was supposed to have been instead of what it is. Because that is where God is taking us. That is why Christ came. That is why Jesus did what he did, to show signs of the coming kingdom, of what the world was going to be. And as a good priest, that's exactly what... If you read the book of John, it says over and over again that the miracles that Jesus did were signs of the kingdom, pointing to us and illustrating for us what it would be like if we had never sinned and pulled away from God, and what it one day will be like if, in fact, we trust in Christ and things on earth will be, in fact, as things are in heaven. You pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is. That's what the priest's job was to repaint in the people's minds that picture of what... Women, if you've had a child, you have to be going, you mean you can have a baby and not go, ah! Well, Gene didn't do exactly that, but... You've got to be excited about a world in which there's no more disease, no more defect, no more illness, no more corrupting food. Your refrigerator, Maybe not even, you wouldn't even need a refrigerator. I would love to have, just in the last 2 weeks, my wife pulls out something and goes, well, that's no longer good, and she pitches it, and I go, where did that come from? And it's no longer good. Because we live in a corrupted world. And what Jesus is saying and what God is saying and what I believe the priesthood was prescribing was, is to create an image in which those things get shoved out that you can see only what God had intended for us. I'm tempted to ask you, if this doesn't make sense, raise your hand, but that's not fair. So if this makes sense, smile. Oh, good. We'll go on. Listen, folks, I really believe with all my heart that you will never read the book of Leviticus ever again the same way if, in fact, you keep this in the back of your mind. And furthermore, I don't think you'll ever look at your job as a priesthood of all believers, as a priest of God, which you are. You'll never look at your job the same anymore because you're to be doing the exact same thing. You're to be looking to allow God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's why in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, the priests were holding back, thinking that they were obeying God's law because they were going to be defiled by touching this guy that had been bruised and bloodied and everything else. That was a corrupted body laying along the side of the road. But Jesus says, you don't understand. It's your job to paint a picture of what the world's supposed to look like. You need to restore that guy. You need to bring him back to a pre-fall condition. I'm so proud of myself, I can hardly stand it. A lot of the reason is because I spent 35 years trying to figure out what the book of Leviticus was there for. And now all of a sudden it just jumps out me with evidence after evidence after evidence of, Keith, you're an idiot. You spent 35 years on this? It's there all along. God is trying to show us what our job is as priests of God to reestablish and rebuild His world. Here we go. Question to be answered. If you want to follow along in the sermon outline, it looks like this. The question before the house is this. Why should I care what God says about priests in the Pentateuch? Answer. You should care about what God has to say about priests first because your Savior is the fulfillment of the priest prescribed and described in the Pentateuch, and so you can never fully understand Christ without understanding what He came to fulfill. Second, as a believer in Christ, you are called to be a priest to your family, friends, neighbor, and the rest of the world, so you better know your role. And finally, the life of a priest was designed and designated to be the representative of the nature and makeup of the kingdom of God. I love this story. There was one time a guy that was coming upon a scene of an accident, and there was a guy that had been hit along the side of the road. And it looked like this guy was going to die. And they could tell by his dress and apparel and that kind of stuff that he must have been a Catholic. And so they said, this guy's in real trouble. Is there a priest anywhere here that can give him the last rites? And the guy comes up and says, well, I'm not really a priest, but I lived next to a Catholic church for 38 years. I'm sure I can help him. He said, well, go ahead and read him the liturgy. And the guy says, okay, B8, I-19, and you know what's sad about that story? It's true about us. The world outside of these walls think we're a bunch of lunatics who don't know anything about what it means to live in the real world. Folks, I got a clue for you. This is not the real world. It's passing away. The real world, the world that we'll live in forever, is the world that Christ is trying to paint for us and that we're to be painting to our friends and neighbors so that they will want to pursue Christ, they'll want to have a relationship with the God of the universe and find themselves in that world. Here we go. Number one. First of all, the word for the day is priest. You're to be a priest. Christ is a priest. We better know our role as a priest. One, the duties of the priest. Was there to offer sacrifices, to help the people be reconciled and to maintain their relationship with God, to bless the people, to let the people know what God would give for them and to provide for them if, in fact, they would follow Him with all their hearts. It was to be a treatment and assessment of impurity. Remember when Jesus over... And listen, by the way, we know that Jesus wanted to reinforce the idea of the priesthood because He all the time is referring people to go show yourself to the priest. Why? In order to make evidence of the kingdom of God being revealed. Make evidence of the leprosy that was discharged. Make evidence of the woman with the bleeding that had been healed. Make evidence of how the kingdom of God was being restored because of His presence. Treatment and assessment of impurity. Communicate the word of God. Priests are there in order to tell people what God is really like. And also protecting against heresy. Making sure that people have an accurate view of God. Boy, if there's anything we need in this day and age, it's an accurate assessment of who God is, an accurate understanding of God's Word. I just read in the paper Friday, I think it was, of another denomination that is just headed down an ungodly path because they are not reading God's Word. In fact, there's a faction within this denomination that is ripping themselves apart because they're just so disenchanted with their total ignorance of God's Word. Folks, we need to be, if we're going to be a good priest, we need to be in God's Word. We need to know what God has to say. We need to know who God is if we're going to point people to Him. Number two, priests facilitate others to come to God and His kingdom by example and teaching. Wow. One of the saddest things I've come to the understanding over the last 15 years of my life is how many obstacles the church puts in the way of unbelievers. And we're no exception. This church, I've on a couple of occasions have had to deal with people in our community that are hostile towards this church because of things that have happened over the last 15, 20 years. One of the real eye-openers was the marketing report the college students did up here at Hillsdale College as part of their marketing deal. They did a report for us that we participated in and did a survey of 500 people within the five-block area of Hillsdale Church, and there was four responses that just really troubled me. They think I'm a crook. They think that I'm a shyster. That is, don't shake your head yes. You need to come and talk to me if you believe that's true. I was flabbergasted to even think that somebody would think that about our church and about me. And I have no idea where they got this information or disinformation. But folks, there are. One of the quotes that haunts me to this day is a quote by Mahatma Gandhi that said, I would be a Christian if it wasn't for Jesus' followers. Christ I love. It's His church that disgusts me. One of the quotes that I say quite often because it's so sadly true is, the church is my mother, but she's a whore. I didn't say that. Augustine said it 1,500 years ago. Folks, what's wrong with us? Oh, you don't know? We're sinners. We're prideful, arrogant, self-centered sinners that if it wasn't for our high priest Christ, would have absolutely no hope of getting into heaven and enjoying the coming kingdom. Listen, cheer up. You're a lot worse than you think you are. But cheer up. God is infinitely more gracious and forgiving and kind than you ever dreamed or imagined. And we better never forget that. Priests facilitate others to come to God and His kingdom by example and teaching. I pray that we will do that. You know what? I love to bring people to things that I'm excited about. If you come to our house today for the Porta Rosa open house, by the way, this is a potluck. Just wanted to make sure that was clear. We'll have the burgers and some drinks and we'll have some other things there, but we're really counting on some other people to bring some other things. But if you come, you'll find one of the things that people almost always comment on, and that's our wood floors. And boy, if you make mention of it, you better have 10 minutes. Because, well, first of all, my son-in-law makes the wood floors, okay? So that I have a special affection towards wood anyway. I've worked with wood. It's one of my one hobbies that I love to do. So I love wood anyway. I just love the wood. I'm sure Jesus was a carpenter because he had the same affections. But if you ask me, how do you keep them so shiny? Be prepared. I'm giving you warning. Because I will tell you about Minwax polyurethane gloss finish. I love that stuff. You put it on and it melts the old finish into it and it evens itself out and looks nice. Some of you will come today and you'll bring stones in on your shoes. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Some of you will sit on chairs that we forgot to change the little rubber feety things, and they'll come through and they'll tear the floor up. Don't worry about it. I have the Minwax glossy polyurethane finish. And I can patch that thing up, won't I, baby? By tomorrow, it will be patched. Because it smooths itself. I've told you this, haven't I? It smooths itself right out. You don't even know that it's there. It's patched all over the place. You can't tell it unless you look just right. And if you start going like this, I'll know you're looking for the critical parts. What am I doing? I'm being a priest for Minwax floor finish. Which car? A priest is there to pave the way for other people to be led to it. A priest is there in order for other people to be led to God. One of the quotes that really, really hit me in the face this week was a quote, Emile's Journeys. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but it's in your sermon outline. Basically said this: every person is a priest to something. Or to someone. Every person is a priest to something or to someone. What are you a priest to? What are you leading people to? Listen, if you really understood what the God of the universe has done for you through Christ, it should be a no-brainer. I mean, it's a lot better than Minwax glossy polyurethane. As much as I love it, it doesn't hold a candle to what Jesus has done. Priests facilitate others to come to God and His kingdom by example and teaching. I think under the conclusion is that Emile's Journeys quote, every man is a priest, even involuntarily. His conduct is an unspoken sermon, which is forever preaching to others. But there are priests of Baal and of Moloch, and all the false gods. Such is the importance of example. Here we go. Conclusion. A. Christ is the ultimate priest. We talked about that back on May 9th, about Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king, the anointed one. Resource May 9th sermon if you want more information on that. B. Those in Christ are to strive to be ultimate priests. We are to be people who lead others to an understanding of a pre-fallen world. We are there in order to show people that God wants to take you from where you are, just as you are, to where you should be, where you know you should be. That's our job, to usher in here on earth God's will as it is done in heaven. We're to be priests to lead people to that understanding, to lead people to that knowledge, lead people to that affection, lead people to that understanding of what God has for us if we'll just submit ourselves to Him. I don't know if you've thought about that or not, but that is a huge job. And it absolutely scares me spitless to think about the responsibility that I have with my wife, because I'm to be a priest to her. And she's to be a priestess to me. We're to be priests to our children. Parents, what are you doing to facilitate your children to come into a better and better understanding of the God of the universe and the world that He wants you to one day enjoy as a child of God? What are you doing through your example? What are you doing through your teaching? What are you doing through the way you conduct yourself that allows you to be a good priest for your spouse and for your family, but even for your neighbor? The responsibility is overwhelming. But the fact that God has called me to do that means that He believes that I am capable, if I would trust in Him, to do that. Which is terribly exciting. I like it when people's eyes light up and they find out for themselves the joys of Minwax gloss finish. But folks, it doesn't hold a candle to sitting here and standing here on Sunday morning and watch some of you go, you may not think that I'm really watching you, but I'm watching you very, very closely. And when I see your eyes light up and I see the peace run over you because the reality of what Christ has done for us and the reality of the world that God has for us floods over you and gives you reassurance and hope and courage, and it shows through your Shekinah glory that comes out of you, there ain't money enough to pay for that, folks. And every once in a while it happens. Those in Christ are to strive to be ultimate priests. Worship point is this. The more you understand about the priesthood, the more you will understand the job description and role of Jesus and yourself as one who is in Christ. And when you see what God has for those who are in Christ, worship will come quite naturally. You won't have to psych yourself up to worship. You won't have to... You know, speaking of which, I don't know how many of you are aware or not, but we put the sermon outline notes, the bulk of them, not the edited version that you have in your hands, but the bulk of them on Thursday afternoon, so that you can come prepared, ready to worship, as a good priest always does. The priest's job was to prepare things well in advance so when the worshipers came, things went well and things went smoothly for those that were participating in worship. If you are a priest, you need to come prepared in order for you to be able to facilitate others to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's why we offer those on Thursday afternoon. What about 2 o'clock they go on? If things go well. So you have plenty, and you know what really, really flipped my trigger the other day? Someone actually said they did that. They got online days in advance and actually studied the sermon notes before they came on Sunday morning. Man, you won't have to pay me for 3 weeks. Well, you might have to, but I'm serious. That made my day to understand that people take seriously enough their job as a priesthood of believers to prepare in advance so that they're able to take people where they've already been. Because a priest cannot lead people into worship unless they themselves have been involved in worship. That's one of the things that scares me about coming to this church and finding you as a much more mature church than the last church that I served. I know that if I'm going to be a good pastor for you, if I'm going to be a good priest for you, I've got to keep ahead. I've got to be really, really pursuing God myself, because I can't take you where I haven't been. There's no way. And you can't take your family, you can't take your friends, you can't take your neighbors to a place that you haven't been. Here's my challenge to you. I challenge you all to read the book of Leviticus. I really mean this. I know that a lot of you are going, he's kidding, right? No! Read the book of Leviticus and labor to learn enough about the life and role of a priest of the Pentateuch and to make modern day application for your own priestly role as a believer in Christ. Look at the things that a priest was not allowed to do. Look at a priest, look at the things that the priest was designated to do. Look at the type of prohibitions that he had. Look at the type of requirements that he had. Look at all those little weird things and try to understand, why would God prescribe this? And what is my role in the world in which I'm living? What is my role in order to carry out that same function in my world? I really believe you'll come up with some insights that may shock you. Especially if you understand the very first thing I said today about how I really believe that a priest is there in order to be an example, or to open our eyes to the world in which God wants us to live in. A pre-fallen world in which everything is good. There is no more disease. And that we're to be leading people to an understanding that that's what God wants all of us to understand. If that makes any sense at all, smile. Okay, good. We can close in prayer and we can all just enjoy our rest of our time together, because 80% of you smiled. And if you didn't smile, you probably were a grouch when you woke up this morning anyway. So, I don't know why I said that. That was not a pre-fall expression. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for your patience with us. I'm so grateful that you have a better world for us to live in. And that we can look forward to that world, and we can take great comfort and great hope in realizing that this world is not it, that this is not all there is. In fact, you tell us in Romans chapter 8 that if we'll keep our hearts and our minds focused on that coming world, then all the pain and the suffering in this world just kind of just fades in the background. Because the pain and suffering in this world can't hold a candle to the glory that we will one day be able to bask in. Father, I thank you for Peter's words in the beginning of his first letter, in which he tells us that we are waiting for an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you who trust in Christ. Father, help us to be good priests. Help us to be able to arrive at that point of understanding and worship ourselves, so that we can take others and lead others to that same place. God, help us. As we live in a fallen, corrupted, depraved, broken world, and yet we are to be here in order to show people the way out of it. And that way is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to that world and to that understanding and to you except through him. So Father, help us to point people to Jesus, the great high priest, who has made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be ushered into that kingdom. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love for us. Help us to never forget that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.